Final hour on this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget Sounds Baseball on 94.9 tonight. Six-game homestand at First Horizon Park against Columbus. Pre-game show begins at 6:50 p.m. First pitch at 7:05. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell, Manning Things, the Wholesale Inc. Game Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Some interesting stuff there. We talked about things that we saw on Twitter that it was not going the kicker's way. Mike Vrabel talking about that, not going too much in depth. Also, talking about the backup quarterback role, kind of switching in and out. DeShone Kizer got more looks today. And quite honestly, if you read the things on Twitter about training camp day number two, doesn't look like things went DeShone Kizer's way either. So I know it's very early on. It's 2 days in. But all these things are being evaluated, especially when you're fringe guys, when you're guys that don't have a defined role. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons, not that he can do it the entire training camp, but if he goes out there and has an off day, which it sounds like, according to the head coach, a lot of players had an off day today, that they were not very good today, and maybe it's the heat. You never know. But there are certain guys that just cannot go through the motions. There are certain guys that can't have, I don't want to say an off day, but really off days. Like, you don't want them to keep piling up because it's going to see you being shown the door. And, you know, a guy like DeShone Kizer isn't wrapped up anything. And he can't afford off days. And right now it's singular, an off day. But if we're continuing to talk about it, we'll be continuing to talk about Logan Woodside as the backup quarterback again this season.
That feels like a true competition. And, you know, last year I know Simeon was here and all of that, but it didn't really feel that way. It kind of felt like they had anointed Logan Woodside as the backup, but it feels like a competition. But let me ask you something, because you see through a lot of stuff that coaches say. He was asked about the kicker, and then he deflected and said it kind of fits with everybody else, that everybody had a bad day. Do you buy that, or do you think that was a deflection from the kicker question?
No, I buy it. I buy it.
Okay.
I mean, I mean, he's got no reason to protect two guys with no skins on the wall.
But like, he's also,
quite honestly, Mike Vrabel doesn't give a damn about protecting a rookie kicker from Ohio State, even though he loves Ohio State. But, you know, and Tucker McCann, who's done nothing. So, no, I don't believe it was a deflection on that. I also don't think he's going to sit there and bang on those guys either, right?
Right.
I mean, so, but I don't think he would make up it was a bad day. If it really wasn't a bad day, I believe that he feels that way, that, hey, he's seen better days of training camp. Like I said, it's 100 degrees outside, so I'm sure that's factored in. But with that being said, when they start playing in September, it'll be hot as well. So they're going to have to get used to these hot days. It's something, a line that I've used with my kids constantly on the baseball team. Got good news and bad news today, as it's, you know, what do you want first? The bad news, okay? The bad news is it's really, really, really hot out here today. What's the good news? The good news is it's really, really, really hot out there for the other team too. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, they're going to have to play in hot days in September. I mean, there's going to be a lot of days where it's the heat index and the humidity, and it's going to be, you know, oh, by the way, playing at noon.
Yeah, but no, but it'll be fine in their retractable roof air conditioner. Oh, wait, no, yeah, just go.
Nope.
But that is, I think, the challenge for the coach is building the toughness, conditioning your players to the heat, because you know there's going to be some real games where there is hot. And also, you have to get the time in and prepare your team. But you're balancing that with it's really hot and you can't do anything dumb. And that's where the sports science, Teron asked the question about sports science. He shared a few things there about what they're doing. They track the players. They don't want guys pulling muscles. They don't want guys overheating. And they have a lot more technology than they once did to help aid in that area. But that's the balance. You can't go too soft and you can't go too tough.
No, I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I have to believe a guy like Mike Vrabel doesn't probably put up with that stuff too much, even though he understands what you just said. Things have changed, and it's changed for the better.
That's why they don't practice twice in this
stuff
anymore.
But I was going to say, he grew up with two-a-days, we covered two-a-days, and we really know what it's like to go through. Think about doing that twice a day. I mean, that's what they did in this heat. By the way, it wasn't any cooler back then either. There's a chance, by the way, we could break the 2012 record today.
They've been talking about this for 3 or 4 days now, how hot it was going to be today. So today is unusually hot. There's always going to be some days
and it's
like
sticky.
This.
It's
this
miserable.
It is really hot.
Yeah, so.
I'm just saying now you have some things at your disposal that the Jeff Fisher Titans teams did not have.
Right.
And that's a good thing. Because it kind of lets you know more what you can do. What can you do in this heat, and when is it time to go in the bubble and
right.
do your work in the bubble or cut things a little bit short?
Yeah.
Or just go about it a little bit different. People are learning. It's a weapon. It's, you know, nutrition, sleep, sports science is a weapon. It's a competitive thing. Like, more and more teams are investing more and more in it because they're looking for an edge.
But as Darren, you know, was saying, there are guys that you can't use any of that as an excuse. I mean, you just have to have – you're not going to be perfect every day. Everybody knows that. It's the second day of training camp. And quite honestly, and, you know, I kind of got the vibe from him too. I was asking the kicker question just because he's – in the last 2 years, the kicker has been a hot topic, and I know it doesn't need to be. But I think that he also has done this long enough to know – second day of training, you come out fired up for the first day. I mean, you're running on adrenaline. Everybody's just glad to be back on the practice field.
And that's a great day to pull
the
muscle.
And then there's a little bit of a letdown for day two. They'll probably pick it back up, you know, tomorrow. And that's just – it's early. I get all that. But to your point, Darren, there are some guys that they just can't have those mulligans. They have to have a lot of good days to be able to stick on this team because – as we've also discussed, it's going to be tough to whittle this down to 53. They got a lot of talent in there, and trying to find those depth players and trying to find those guys that are willing to play special teams and not be in the flashy positions on special teams, knowing what their roles are, getting those. He talked about they don't have defined roles yet, but you know, you got to make those plays to be able to be one of the guys that get defined in that role.
By the way, Sandoval just struck out. Gosh.
The panda?
What is he going to look like after baseball? I worry for him. If this is what he looks like
as
a professional
be like
athlete
a,
right now.
Is he going to be like an offensive lineman and lose a ton of weight?
I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works. I don't think, you know, yeah, no, I don't think so.
So you don't foresee Pablo Sandoval going full Joe Thomas?
No.
B-hop. B-Hop's a great example
of
that.
He's probably 70 pounds, maybe even 80 pounds lighter than when he played.
Yep.
Depending on the year. No, I don't see that from the Panda. I kind of feel like the Panda's going to go the wrong way. Just saying. I mean, he's got a body for a beer softball league. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he will be playing softball for sure. He'll get recruited. With that body, for sure. Man, just think, that's a guy playing in the major leagues right now. And it's not like he's the first guy that looks like that that's playing in the bigs, but that was not a good at-bat. Just saying, Chase. Not a good at-bat.
No, it was not.
Going back to what you said, this is what John Robinson's been preaching since he became general manager. That's what they wanted. Did he not say that they were going to create competition at every position? It was all about
–
having competition and tough decisions to make. I mean, if your decisions are easy, that's probably not a good thing.
I think one of those examples is in the secondary. He talked up a couple of guys, and I would say it was a bit unsolicited. He was asked specifically about Chris Jackson and Breon Borders, but he didn't really temper his answers. He liked both of those guys and what they've done to try to get better. And what that does is not only hopefully give you two more guys that you can have in the mix. I almost look like the defensive backs as a pitching staff. Mm. You never have enough of them, and there's got to be guys who are on paper, guys that you hope don't play a whole lot, but if you have to play them, can they do the job? And I think Borders and Jackson would be that. They're not elite guys, but they you can plug those guys in a package, or if they've got to fill in for a couple weeks as a starter, it's not disastrous. But what that's doing is that hopefully is pushing the younger guys that they're hoping have a little bit more talent than those guys. Fair to say?
Yeah.
They like, I mean, you can tell Mike Vrabel likes players like that. He always has appreciated players like that.
Well, because he was a player like that.
Because he started off you know? Like that.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you've got to have those guys to win. Those guys have to be valuable players. Players, we said it before, right? Players 20 through 40. The Titans do a pretty good job of finding those guys. And you got to have contributions to them. Now, last year on defense, it didn't go overly well for a lot of those guys. Right,
yeah.
But a lot of those guys ended up getting hurt. Right, they ended up trying to go find other guys from the outside to fill in. Of course, they traded for one in the middle of the season to try to plug a hole. But you're hoping with all the guys they have in there, drafting Farley, you know, Fulton is back for a second year. Hopefully, you know, he's healthier. But they just got a lot of guys in that hopper, hoping to come up with a nucleus of 5, 6, 7 that they can count on.
I do just wonder how being able to have the whole team, it doesn't matter what side of the ball, but have everybody in for the off season program and workouts and now full training camp where things are, you know, semi-normal. There's still some differences. Obviously, you know, Ryan Tannehill talked about being in the process of the vaccination. I know there's some others and all of that, but things are closer to normal now than they were last year, and how much will that make a difference? And what I mean by that is with some of the training in the off season, I mean, guys can train on their own, but it's going to be different than being there with the training staff and, you know, all that kind of thing. So I'm curious to see what kind of a difference that makes being in meeting rooms together. Is there a little more cohesiveness early on? And if that makes a difference at all, if we see something like that.
Well, we act like when we say that the Titans are the only one that get that advantage. I
mean, yeah,
the rest of the league gets it, so everybody else is going to be thinking the same thing and going, boy, how much will this help us?
Well, I mean, fair, but I'm also more concerned about the Titans because we all saw what that defense did last year or didn't.
Right, but I'm saying if it does help you out, which how could it not? I don't know how getting back to some type of normal behavior and not doing everything via Zoom can't help you. But, I mean, it's going to help everybody else too. So that defense is going to – so it's helping all the offenses around the league. And so that means they should be better as well. So – and don't forget, Aaron Rodgers now has Randall Cobb. So the Packers are going to score 70 points a game now that they've got Randall Cobb.
I'm just glad Aaron's happy.
And is he happy? I didn't get that sense when I watched his press conference.
Hashtag sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know that. I know. But I'm just saying, wow. Like, he this thing, and we can do this on the other side because it's – and by the way, do we have any clips or any portion of that presser yesterday where he nuked the front office? Subtly?
Yeah, napalmed them.
Was it subtly? Or no, I guess.
Yeah,
we
do.
Nuke something, it's not really subtly, is it?
No.
No.
But I mean, what did you expect? Like, if you're them, if you're Green Bay, and you turn him loose to the reporters, which you have to do, and he has to do it.
He wants to do it.
He wants to, but like you can't step in his way either. Like you have to sit there and take it. Like you don't have a choice. You know, you've botched all this, which I mean.
I still don't know why the Green Bay, the sort of the nameless, faceless people from afar, they get 100% of the blame.
No, and that's
and
what
Aaron Rodgers,
say.
This is a tired act to me. Yeah, just enough is enough, man. I know you're not happy with the front office, okay?
Right.
It's been months of this. Just
but he
just
showed
play.
Up. He showed up.
Okay, fine. But like this is old. What's time to play?
He deserves some blame,
okay.
too. I agree.
Just, but, I mean, if he's doing this in another couple weeks and people are interviewing him. Aaron, why are you upset, man? What are we going to do, man? It's just old.
But
it's just tired.
At the same time,
if his goal is to win, he needs to just park that for a while.
You've basically said this is going to be his last year in Green Bay. You have conceded on some things. You're not firing the GM.
Well, when they put out The Last Dance on social media, him and Davante Adams, doesn't that say that
sure.
This is it?
Yeah. No. But when you do all that and then you let him go and have his 45 minutes to, you know, complain, to get it all out, now both sides have to go, all right, let's focus on these 17 games.
Right. That's what you have to hope for.
And then we'll come to the Green Bay office and flip each other off, shake hands, whatever you want to do, and call it a day.
I agree, and I would hope that there's some sort of understanding. Okay, get it all out of your system in this one press conference. Okay, if you want to moan and groan and continue the violins for how tough life has been getting your team to the conference right. championship game, the roster's so bad, you've gotten to the NFC championship game in the last 2 years, woe is me. Get it all out today, because enough is enough. Let's focus. We've made concessions. We've tried to do what we can do, and like you said, Chase, we'll revisit it after the season, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, they're gonna.
But let's not have this be a day to day thing in the national news every day. The complaining and moaning and groaning.
Nate says Clay Matthews and BJ Raji coming back next week. Watch out.
throw
in AJ Hawk.
Well, I mean,
there could be some more commercials.
Yeah, but let's not act like the general manager put together that NFC title game roster. The guy that's doing all the complaining had 48 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Yeah, and he said it. He goes,
and that roster goes 7-9 without him, if they're lucky, and they don't make the playoffs.
That's being generous.
Let's not act like it was built to succeed. And oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers, you benefited from that. No, Aaron Rodgers is the reason they went to the NFC title game.
Yeah, he said that.
Aaron Rodgers is pretty good. I don't think anybody.
No, he's
is,
not pretty good. He may be the right. best quarterback okay. we've ever
is,
seen.
Is anybody arguing with that? No, nobody.
Well, I mean,
nobody
you act like he doesn't have the right to voice his opinion. You have no idea how bad it's been behind the scenes. No idea.
Exactly. I mean,
maybe this guy is a turd. And does he have the right to be ticked? Yeah, he does, because he's kind of a big deal. And when you're a big deal, you get treated a certain way. And if he's been treated a certain way that is not the way we think a big deal should be treated, don't you think he's got the right to be ticked about
it? Yes, but he's been doing this constantly for months now. It's okay. All right, I know you don't like the guy that's the GM. I get it. We all get it. We've heard it a million times. Park it. Move on. It's been addressed, and he can get out of there at the end of the year. That's basically my understanding, right? He controls his fate
at
the end of the season. So he got what he want. So you only can play this game for so long. Go try to win a championship with what you got. Make the most of what you got.
If that happens, we'll see how smart this GM is.
And we'll see how smart Aaron Rodgers is.
We'll see what life
after
Aaron Rodgers.
The grass isn't always greener on the other side. We'll find out.
Well, Tom Brady disagrees.
GM's thinking they know everything.
I've
never seen that before.
He went to another pasture and still won again.
The grass was good on the other side.
Yes, it was.
It was.
He found some grass.
It was much greener than it was where he was at.
I was going to say, and he came from green grass or turf. I don't know what he had, but he had a nice playing surface before. But they have
turf there in New England.
They do.
They do.
Do so, they?
Yeah.
They do now, yes.
Okay.
At the start of his career, they didn't. They had some ugly games on that field.
Boy, they did.
Well, that was the old Foxborough Stadium. That's
no.
Mm-mm. When Gillette did?
Gillette had the grass
right.
for a
it
while.
Sure did.
It was nasty.
I mean, they put in,
and
Gillette
they put
this
in the
whole
turf.
Run.
Yeah.
Now, he started his career in Foxborough. In the old stadium. Because Gillette opened in 2002.
Let's find out what year it opened.
Well,
but I know they had grass
Titans
at the start.
Playoff game was at Gillette.
Yes.
That was.
That was 2003.
2003. Yep.
Gillette Stadium opened in 2002.
So that was their second year in the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
It was grass then.
It was grass for a good while.
It was frozen grass when I went there in 2003.
Yeah, so that first Super Bowl they won that season was Foxborough.
Mm. Hmm.
I mean, they're both at Foxborough. But,
well, right. Foxborough Stadium.
Did they build a structure right next to it?
I don't know.
Remember.
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, Foxborough is not like this booming metropolis. It's a good ways away. So I know it's on the same grounds, but was it a brand new? It wasn't a renovation, right? It was a brand new structure. I lost.
I never went to the old ones. I don't.
I've never
know.
Been to either one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've driven through Foxborough though. It's a little bit off the beaten path.
A little bit. Yeah, that's. Yeah. You could say that.
You could get to Providence as quickly as you can get to Boston. I think.
Well,
in
some
days.
Depending
on the time of the day.
Yeah, that's where we stayed. That's where the Titans stayed. In Providence. Mm-hmm.
So after 31 NFL seasons, Foxborough Stadium was scheduled to be demolished on December 23rd, 2001. The day after the Patriots' final home game. However, the stadium would instead play host to the first season of the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick era, with the team making a run to get into the playoffs and going on to win their first Super Bowl. It was not demolished until January 2002 after the conclusion of the 2001 postseason.
So it's built side by side?
Don't know.
Yes. The stadium's former site became parking lots for its successor.
It's kind of like Shea Stadium, Citi Field. The Reds did it.
It's now built
it right next to the old one and then tear the other one down.
It's now open-air shopping called Patriot Place. Hmm. So it's right next to it.
Yeah, they've built this, and I have seen that. There's a lot of shops and a little bit somewhat like the Battery, I guess, in Atlanta, where the idea is you just have a lot of retail and places to hang out. Of course, it's a little easier in Atlanta, where you have 82 games as opposed to 10.
That is the new trend, right?
And yeah.
It seems to be a successful trend. It seems to be working. Build up a lot of things around your structure and people, you know, because thousands and thousands of people come to your product and they'll go to those products. So, yeah, it works. So that was not there, obviously. Nothing was there. But just a stadium plopped in the middle of nowhere. So that's interesting. Okay. Chase, tell everybody about Firestone.
I will. Firestone tires, they are the only tires that are driven by IndyCar drivers. And they're finally going to be hitting the road and racing on the streets of Nashville that they call home. We can't wait. Watch all weekend as Firestone Rubber meets the legendary streets of the Music City and enjoy the sweet music of IndyCars racing along every stretch, even crossing water on the Korean Veterans Bridge. We're all excited about that. It feels good to be home for Firestone, the exclusive tire of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix and the official tire of the NTT IndyCar Series.
Back here on the DDC. At GPander78 on Twitter tweets at us and says, "Hey, Willie D, I'm going to use your own argument against you. You know, we know you don't like Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC. You've voiced your opinion. Now park it and let's play football." Let's segue.
Hey,
Texas and Oklahoma are coming to the
anything.
SEC. Willie, your thoughts?
I didn't even say anything today about it.
Are you going to be representing the Big 12 in their lawsuit against ESPN?
Well, I have to say, I have been reading about that. I am intrigued.
It's got no chance.
Have you ever heard the phrase grasping at straws? That's kind of what this
feels
like.
Is a desperate.
Like, come on.
Desperate plea.
I don't think this is going to stop the train from rolling down or leaving the station, whatever you want to use as your analogy. But I think this could cost them.
Could cost
who?
Texas and Oklahoma.
Cost them what? Cost them having to pay a fee to get out of the Big 12, which they were probably going to do anyway?
I think it could cost ESPN. Like if they can prove
you're just saying they don't think they would prove. This has got no grounds. No chance.
I think it's a, pun intended, it's a Hail Mary.
No doubt.
Rob Gronkowski
is not playing in this back there. Okay,
no.
He's not going to fall down, and you're going to get a surprise touchdown a la Dolphins. It's not going to happen.
I will be very, very surprised if anything comes out of this. I just think that this is a... It's a desperate attempt to try and stop the inevitable. I mean, they are walking in front of the train, or they're walking on the tracks. The train's still coming. They're going to get run over by the train, but they're not moving off the tracks just to hope that maybe they'll stop the train. But it's not going to happen.
Okay, so what do we think is going to happen? The Big 12 is done.
Yeah, I mean,
they will dissolve. Don't know that, but yeah, it seems like.
Have you heard what Joe Rexroad has dubbed them? And I love this, the Irate Eight. that's what he's called them now.
Well, I mean, I think it is hard pressed to believe that. I mean, you're losing. Look, it was a pretty desperate and dysfunctional conference to begin with. But you had two massive powerhouses in there holding it all together. That was the glue, but I'm not sure they were really glue. It was more like tape, right? Barely holding that conference together. So they're leaving. That's got gaping holes now. And yeah, my guess is West Virginia will be talking to somebody as fast as you can blink your eyes. Kansas. I mean, they're all going to be, yes. So to answer your question, I'm sure Bob Bowlesby is not going to just go away quietly. But I just think, once again, this is all about prayers and hoping he finds four-leaf clovers everywhere, a big patch of them, acres of them, because this thing is this blaming ESPN. Oh, well, of course we know ESPN. Like, those conversations have never taken place behind the scenes, right? Somebody who pays an entity tons of money, when I mean tons, you know, hundreds of millions or billions. Like, they don't they have influence? What? On moves that are made?
But you're still going to be painted. You're still going to be painted as disloyal from the people you're leaving.
You can't prove it. You cannot prove any of it. You can suggest it. You can.
You know what they're saying had to have happened.
Of course it happened. You can't. There's a thing called proof. You got
to
prove it.
All I'm saying is you're going to have a fight, and you are going to have a bitterness. Irateness from all of those teams. It's natural. And the commissioner of the league, because those they just sunk the league. They just killed the league.
But here's the other thing. If you're ESPN, sure, you're having these conversations and you're very much in the know, but you know, they just signed this ginormous television deal, Disney did, with the SEC. Well, now that you're adding Oklahoma and Texas, I mean, eventually it's going to become more expensive than it already is, because you're adding two prestigious programs into the league. So yeah, you might have, you know, some dealings with it all, but it's going to cost you more money in the long run to get the rights deal. Now it's going to open up more opportunity for advertising dollars and things like that. So that's why you do these things. But yeah, I mean, I don't see a way that the Big 12 as we know it survives. Now, could there still be a conference that's called the Big 12 Conference and it has Memphis and Cincinnati and other teams join it? Sure, but you know, I think it's going to be the end of the conference as we know it, and I don't know if Bob Bowlesby is going to be running it.
Will they still be a Power Five?
No. I think this was always going to happen. There was always going to be one conference that gets eaten up by the other ones, and you have four 16-team super conferences.
Let me ask you something though. Okay, so let's throw our best four at the Big 12 with eight teams. Let's throw our best scenario out there. Let's go Cincinnati, UCF, Memphis, and who was the other team you said? Cincinnati and who?
I just threw out Cincinnati and Memphis.
Houston. You get that one there.
Okay, let's go Houston. Let's go Houston, UCF, Cincinnati, and Memphis.
What's your TV deal like?
So that's not attractive?
Well,
I don't think so.
The TV markets, like, think about the markets. Now, Memphis is a
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's
nice
decent
market. Houston, yep. Big
Houston,
market.
Very, very nice.
UCF, Orlando. I mean, yep. They used to televise Willie's games. I mean, there's sure. There's a thirst for sports in that market. Those are all pretty good sized markets. Would we agree? Cincinnati and Houston. I mean, yeah. Houston's a massive
There's
market.
The market itself is a plus. The brand is a different story.
By the way, in basketball, that'll be pretty darn good. You're adding some pretty good teams to your basketball, are you not?
But we know what's going to happen. It's not as simple as those four teams join the league and everybody's happy.
And, oh, by the way, football's not bad either. Cincinnati, were they not pretty good this year?
But you know what's already happening is all these other teams like Kansas, they're scurrying around trying to see if they can latch on with a different league.
Well, but I'm saying, not, is that so possible? That, if those four teams said, yes, we're in, do you think this could be saved?
No.
You still don't think so?
I don't think so. That's
not in its current form. I mean, again, it's maybe for a little while it'll hold on. And is because the Power Five will stay.
It's not a Power Five. Like who are your marquee teams? Who's going to contend for a playoff spot out of there?
Well, I mean, Baylor has had their day. I mean, Oklahoma State is not marquee. I mean, what?
Those are good second way. Those are good challengers to the brand of Texas and Oklahoma. Texas. They're the anchors. You just lost your two anchors.
Let's be honest. Outside of Oklahoma, who else in that conference has really been? Texas.
That's a major power. Texas, yeah, we know, is a major power.
That's the thing.
In football?
Yes.
Okay, it hasn't been that way in a decade.
No, but they still have pull.
Major power. Yeah. They have their own television network.
Yeah.
They're a major
player. Nobody watches. We don't watch it. Who gets it? I'd like to know who gets it.
If
you're going to sit here and argue that Texas is not a major power, then I can't win.
The only time I really have watched it is when there's a Texas football game on the Longhorn Network, and I flipped through.
I don't think I've ever watched it, but yeah. I'm just saying you got to be pretty major to have your own TV channel.
Yeah,
that and ESPN is paying you.
Sure.
To have.
And now I would assume that it'll just kind of be absorbed into the SEC network. I'll say this: I've flipped through and I've watched Michael Griffin on it, and he does a great job. I hope that the SEC network uses him, you know, as a part of all this. But to your point, yeah, I mean, if you're a huge University of Texas fan, you're the one watching the Longhorn Network. But, you know, how much are people outside of the Southern bubble watching the SEC network? I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to blame ESPN for killing anything because, like I said before, when we started these discussions about what was happening, and Willie's like, you can't let this happen. It'll kill that conference. Okay, fine. The SEC says, we can't accept you because we're going to kill your conference. Texas and Oklahoma go fine. Then we'll find the next conference who'll take us in. And somebody else will take them in, and the conference still gets killed. So ESPN didn't kill the conference. It was inevitable. Texas and Oklahoma wanted out. They no longer want to be associated with the Big 12. So the conference was dead to begin with, and you have to blame Texas and Oklahoma, not ESPN. That's who killed the conference. Because when they decided we're out, that conference was dead. It wasn't ESPN.
Yeah, and now everybody's going to – I mean, you brought up Baylor. I think Baylor is going to be talking to the Pac-12. Maybe the Big 10. I guess they could go either way. You know, but that's what's going to happen. You're going to have everybody's going to scurry off, and that's what's going to end it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I'm not blaming ESPN or the networks for this conference. If it dies, I'm not blaming the networks. You have to blame the two schools, the two power schools that have been holding it together. Like I said, with tape. I'm not even sure it was glue. With tape. And the only reason it survived is because of those two. Remember, the Big 12 has had issues for a good while.
Right, so blame the Big 12.
Right.
Blame
like it's their own fault.
Blame them that they've had to hold it together with Oklahoma and Texas and, you know, a.k.a. duct tape and baling wire. I mean, why did you allow it to get to this point? Because at one time, you know, they were a profitable conference that they had, I think at the time, a TV deal with Fox. They had Nebraska. Yeah, I can remember that.
And they would have gotten another one. It just wouldn't have been as lucrative as the SEC.
Right. So, but what went wrong? Like, because you had other teams
scurry out of there.
Right.
But that was 10 years ago. Nothing has happened here the
last
10 years.
Clearly, you didn't fix it.
Well, it was Texas that started the whole thing. They had to bend over backwards for Texas to stay in the league.
Yes.
And that's why Nebraska left and Colorado left. Then you added West Virginia.
Right, but we haven't
and they
talked.
Had they stabilized for 10 years. So you probably have to go back 10 years. But the genesis of all of this is probably Texas. I just think the old Big 12, when Nebraska and Colorado were in it, that was a good version of a power league.
Right.
It's not been the same since then.
They in A&M and Missouri, and they left. It's interesting. We haven't
I just don't think it's been better for any of those teams since then. Nebraska being one of them.
The Big Ten has been the most lucrative conference going, so Nebraska would probably push back and say, we're making way more money in the Big Ten than we ever did in that other conference.
And their team is below average.
From a competition standpoint, then you can say no. Like, they have not been as successful as, you know, when Ndamukong Suh was at Nebraska playing in a Big 12 championship game. Remember that one for sure. But, you know, we haven't talked about expansion as much until now. I mean, it comes up every now and then. But you guys remember when we had, I think it was early June, we had Paul Feinbaum on, and we were talking about the expanded playoff. We were talking about NIL, all these things. And I asked him the question of what's next? What's the next thing? And he said
this again?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, he said expansion.
Yeah, he did.
He said expansion's going to come up again. Now, I don't think he met a month and a half later, but I don't think that's what he was thinking about at SEC Media Days, that bomb would drop. And it was funny. We did it to ourselves because everybody was like, it's been kind of a tame week. You know, no controversy. Nick didn't seem to get mad about something and yell at a reporter and yell at Feinbaum. You know, but
I don't think he went on the show, did he?
I don't know. I know he went on. All the coaches did SEC Now. I don't know if they did. I didn't really see that many going on Feinbaum, so probably not. But they went on SEC Now for a few minutes, but then it happened. So
it's a little bit safer on SEC Now.
Yeah.
A little safer platform.
I don't think Jordan Rogers or Gene Chizik are going to grill him like Feinbaum might.
You don't think so? I don't know. I mean, yeah, that was his answer. And by the way, when we had the Missouri, the guy who covers the Missouri Tigers, he was like, they should get credit for this because this was going to happen no matter what. And this time, Missouri has a seat at the table. And this was going to happen again if they stayed. And they would have been in the same exact boat in here. See, I mean, the bottom line is this stuff was just going to keep happening. It's been an unstable conference for a good while now. Blame them. Willie, blame them. It's been fractured for a long while.
I don't know what the genesis is, though, other than geography. Those aren't big markets, but it just seems logical that in that area of the country, the geography, it fit nicely. Like, what's wrong with having the best teams in that area of the country form the best conference they can have? There's nothing they can do, but the TV markets aren't as big or whatever. I think they could have made it work if they all stuck together.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the model of having the NHL as the top hockey league in North America is right? Having one league.
Yeah.
Okay. If there were six NHLs, do you think that would work?
No.
Okay. So do you now look at this as, because you've been saying it's bad for college football to lose a conference like the Big 12. There are all these conferences. Granted, you have different levels, but there are all these conferences in college sports. And now, fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, one's probably going to go away. So we're inching a little bit closer to having everybody kind of come together. There's still going to be four conferences, but do you kind of feel like if it gets closer to having unity and one entity, that might be better moving forward?
I don't think so. I don't think that gets you a broader audience across the country.
So why does it work for pro leagues like the NFL or the NBA or the MLB or the NHL, but it wouldn't work in this situation?
Well, we're not talking about the best of the best in a 30-team league. We're talking about college kids across the country.
Right, but you're still going to end up with the best.
Should we only have 30? Okay, so you're saying let's just take the top 30 programs and have that be their own league then.
Right.
In college football. Let's have a 30-team super conference and then everybody else is minor league.
But that's already what it is.
No.
Basically.
No, that's not how it is.
I mean, come on. Like, you're going to have...
You had five power conferences. right. Which has
those schools make more money and more people pay attention to them. They have more prestige than others that are not in the Power Five. That's just the way it is. It's just like the NHL is more prestigious, and that's the league you want to go to than the AHL.
Well, I think it's hard to compare the major, major league sports in a professional league to college athletics. It's apples to oranges to some degree, even though we're moving towards more of a professional environment. I just think that when you put those big playoff games on, it helps to have geographic balance where you have teams represented from all around the country and not just one or two super leagues, which is the direction it's going.
I suspect Bob Bowlsby will be looking for a loan. Maybe you could tell him about Loan Pronto.
He might be calling up Greg Sankey and saying, can I be your assistant commissioner, or do you have any job openings in this league?
And Greg will reply with, new phone, who dis?
Well, I can tell you that Loan Pronto will not give you that stiff arm if you were to call them, because they're ready to help you, because they have been pounding this message into your head all summer through me. And I'm glad to do it, because I have refinanced over the years. I've done a home equity loan before. When you're a homeowner, these are the things that you do. This is the way the game works, financial sense. And Loan Pronto has got a streamlined, all-new digital process that's been outstanding for people. Take advantage of the fact that mortgage rates are back to their lows of the year. Home values at their highest value of the year. It's a great time for the no-cost refi from Loan Pronto. A lot of people are doing this. They're locking in a better rate. They're lowering their monthly house payment. Or they're taking some cash out of their home equity loan to pay off credit cards or pay off other debts. Loan Pronto can get that loan done in a matter of days now. That's the new thing. That's why you need to call 615-499-5780. They'll get this done quick with zero closing costs, zero big bank hassle, virtually zero paperwork. That's what's new. 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible.
It is. Thank you, Jim. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this hot, hot Thursday. Titans training camp day two in the books. A little bit more free agency going on in the NHL as that continues. So we talked about Brandon Saad gets 5 years with the Blues at $4.5 million per. The Lightning inked Corey Perry for 2 years. How about that? Trying to think of anything new that's really come down. I don't see anything earth-shattering news. There's some smaller deals. I saw Darren Helm to the Colorado and things.
He's
like
still
that.
In the league?
He is. Well, he has a one-year deal. Still kicking.
Been in Detroit a long time. Yep. Right? Yeah.
Well,
his whole career.
Yeah.
So is this the first time not in Detroit?
Yes.
Wow.
He's been there like 12, 14 years. He played in
He sure has.
He played in the 2012 playoff series, I know, between the Predators and the Red Wings. I think he goes back before that, I think.
Yeah, 07-08 was
07-08. So he played in the 07-08 playoff. Was he on the Cup team?
He played seven games in 07-08, 16 in 08-09, and then 09-10 is when things really started going for him.
It's a long time.
Pretty cool. Flipped over watching the Cubs and the Reds at Wrigley. Pretty cool that they let Ryan Porth be one of the bat boys today. I've tweeted out him today in action. So it's cool he took a day off. And, he's got a bat boy for the Cubs, but, he gets to see his Reds on the field. So tweeted out a picture of that, him in action. So
I'll have to check out this picture. Meanwhile, the Cubs have about half their roster up for trade. Anthony Rizzo is not playing today.
Chris Bryant not playing today.
There's a lot of speculation that it's going to go down. Of course, the deadline is when? Tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow.
So is that song for our show or for those guys in Chicago?
Well, you think about it. I mean, the era for the Cubs, they won it. That was historic. They won a lot of games. But this is it, right? They're gonna trade a lot of those guys.
This is the end, yeah.
We'll see what they get for him, though. That's the thing. People know
song was a double entendre.
people know that they want to trade all these guys. So what do you give up? How much competition is there? I mean, the Mets are very much in this discussion because they're interested in Chris Bryant. Everybody knows it. The Red Sox are very interested in Anthony Rizzo, but what do you give up to go get him? How many other teams are bidding, and are the Cubs willing to walk away? Like you say, Darren, are they willing to say, hey, I didn't get anything close to what I wanted, I'll just hold on to him? That doesn't do you any good. It's a delivery. Yeah. There's Trevor Story. There's a lot of guys who are players that can help you. Max Scherzer. Some big names being dangled out there for baseball that we'll know in a day.
The heat index is around 105 today, so in all seriousness, be safe. That's not anything to mess around with. So if you're going to be out for an extended period of time, make sure you're doing it the right way. Stay hydrated. Probably have some cool wraps and some water close by for sure. So that'll do it for our show today. Have a great rest of your day. As I mentioned, be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to wrap up the week. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next. So finish your whiskey or beer.